If you eat, sleep, and breathe golf...
Sounds like my kind of guy.
...love to explore...
All right, here's what you do. You're going to call your PR guy on the phone and tell him I'm here to see him.
And most importantly, just want to have some fun?
Looks like we got ourselves an orgy here.
Well, welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren.
Don't you think this is starting to get just a little big for the two of us to handle?
Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence.
I don't know how much you know about journalism, but first rule of thumb is don't ever ask a question that you don't want an answer to.
And the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
It's not his fault. He's just trying not to lose his job.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Glad you're with us. As always, I'm Mitch. He's Darren. Chris is behind the figurative glass, as always. Grateful for that. You can find us on the socials in the usual way. Me at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E on Twitter, and at Mitch underscore Lawrence 1 on Instagram. Darren at Golf Getaways on both platforms, and Chris at Chris McEwen, M-C-E-W-E-N on both as well. You can grab all of our 785,000 Talking Golf Getaways episodes. At least I think that's what it is.
That's a lot.
On the 24/7 Golf Newsnet channel on iHeartRadio, which is a great feature. There's so many fantastic discussions that we've had with people over the years. Plus, obviously, you can find us wherever you find your favorite podcasts. We have a fun episode today. We're going to lead off with our friend Will Mayo, the great Will Mayo from Ramshill Golf Club, home of my latest hole-in-one. And then we're going to close today's special episode with Darren, talking about a couple of things. This is going to be really interesting. He had a roller coaster of emotions, putting it mildly, as I know, last week, because he thought he might get to go to the Masters for the first time. Spoiler alert, he isn't. But it's really funny to listen to Darren talk about it. I have, and you're going to get a chance to hear that too. And then he's got a fun story about one of the coolest golf tournament raffle prizes we've heard about. I don't know about lately. It might be ever, maybe. But you're going to want to stay around for that. Hey, Darren, how you doing, man?
I am good, and so happy to have Will Mayo on the show.
Yeah,
Will and I started at Ramshill essentially on the same day a few years back, and now he has the lofty title of Director of Sales and Marketing. I think he used to have the title in there. Weren't you the Director of Business Development too? We'll ask him about that. Will came to Ramshill by way of the Southern California Golf Association, where he did all kinds of stuff, including becoming a master rules official, which I always find fascinating. And most importantly, Will is responsible for my return to the obsession, which is fantasy baseball. There's a lot more stuff to learn about him. I was thinking there was a Golf Origin Stories episode with Chris, but it appears Will might be the only person Chris hasn't interviewed. And Will had his own short-lived podcast called Golf Needs You, which was pretty cool in its own right. It's still out there on the podcast channels, wherever you get your podcasts or wherever you find our podcast. So anyway, that said, Will is a bit of a renaissance man, many talents. Ramshill is definitely the better for bringing him on board. Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways, Will.
Guys, thanks for having me. I feel honored to be in the room of these professionals. Is this be my golf origin story right here? So thank you.
It's great to have you here. Well, we know you, both of us, obviously personally, and I think people are going to be really interested to find out a little bit more about you and about Ramshill, which is always worth exploring. I've been there. Darren certainly knows all about Ramshill. He just took some of his friends down for a trip, which we're going to get into in a minute. But for the listeners out in podcast land, tell us about Ramshill. What's your pitch to drive into the middle of the Southern California desert for golf from a variety of places, aside from the fact that you get to drive through a stunningly magnificent landscape into, and this blew me away, a 600,000 acre, let me repeat that, 600,000 acre Anza Borrego Desert State Park, the largest state park in all of California.
Yeah, it is a special place. And you kind of nailed it, Mitch. Part of what Ramshill is, it's a destination golf experience, and it's not for the faint of heart to get there. That's for sure. It is quite deep East San Diego County. But for me, I think, as you touched on, the journey is part of the experience, and it is just a unique piece of the world. And I've fallen in love with Borrego, certainly, but also just the bones of the golf course that is Rams Hill.
Well, you know, Darren, one sec. Before, I just want to reiterate a point that you said, because Darren and I have talked about this a lot on prior shows, which is that the journey of getting to a place like Rams Hill, for those people who may say, well, yeah, I can, it's a 2-hour drive from here, it's a 3 or 4 or 5 hour drive from here. But for us, the experience of really wanting it that bad and the lead up to getting to Rams Hill is as much, well, it's not as much a part of the experience, but in terms of the excitement that it builds and the way you feel about what you're doing, you have to make an effort to get there. That's one of the great things about it.
Well, no doubt. And I mean, you all are more traveled than I, and as a golf experience junkies, but you know, it's like when you fly into Spokane and you've got those couple hours to Brewster to go play a place like Gamble Sands. I mean, the lead up to it, I just find that as part of the joy. And for me, I encourage people about the drive that is getting out to Borrego. And again, it's just part of what makes it special, I truly believe.
And really, either way that you drive, you know, if you come from Indio or if you come from Temecula, it's really incredibly scenic in different ways, regardless of which way you come in.
Absolutely. I'm quite familiar with the drive now, living in Los Angeles. I head out to Borrego once every week or so for a night or two at a time. And for me, it never gets old, and it's just an experience in itself. And, you know, we're not a place where you're going to wake up and scroll through Golf Now and maybe lock in a tee time for the afternoon. I mean, it's a commitment to get here, and we try to honor that commitment by making sure that it's a first class experience when you finally make it on property.
Yep, definitely. We'll talk a little bit more about the golf course in a minute, but I think even for the people who know about Rams Hill, be it through social media or people have been out there to play, I'm betting most of them don't understand the scope of the project, that years down the road, the idea is for Rams Hill to be a major destination golf resort with multiple courses, additional lodging, all kinds of things, attracting golfers from, you know, as you like to point out, you know, one of the biggest bases of golfers and golf travelers, you know, anywhere in the country. You know, talk a little bit about that long-term vision of what Rams Hill wants to be down the road.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we love what we are currently, and what we are is, you know, the 91st best public golf course you can play as ranked by Golf Digest. And that's great. But you know, what we want to become is a full-fledged golf destination resort. And that's what I'm signed on for. That's what I'm excited about and have been since the first time I kind of heard about what could be in play for the future at Rams Hill. And, you know, we look up to a lot of the big dogs, whether that's the Bandons or the Gambles or the Forest Dunes. And, you know, I'm excited about seeing how that can play out over the next handful of years. And, you know, because destination golf, as you guys know, it's healthy and it's real, and people get really excited about it. And Borrego is such a good setting for that. And it is remote, but one thing we have going for us is that our proximity, as you mentioned, to 24 million people or whatever it may be here in SoCal alone, not to mention you've got Vegas, Phoenix, and anywhere else you can get to Borrego from in a car, really.
Yeah, it's definitely, you can cast a wide net from there. We were always talking about it when I was there as well. And, you know, I know it's one of the things that's on the top of your pitch sheet, so to speak, in terms of just so many people. And then that doesn't even count all the people who fly into LA and to San Diego and then, you know, make the drive from there. Or like you said, you know, even Las Vegas. I know people who come from Las Vegas. The GM, Harry Turner, lives in Las Vegas and makes the commute. So, you know, they're just I mean, the world is your oyster, really, in terms of who you can draw into Borrego, as long as you get the message out to them.
Yeah, it's been interesting. And you know, it's I'm talking to you, but you know all these things already, but I'm talking to anybody listening as well. But when I started in August of 19, I mean, I specifically remember a focus on, you know, how do we get the guys from Chicago to come out to Rams Hill? And of course, we still want them to come out to Rams Hill. But really, you know, the focus became, well, how can we get the people that can drive here within 3, 4, 5 hours out here? Because, and this is probably going to butcher this stat, but it's my understanding that at a place like Bandon, I had heard once upon a time that I think 80% of their business actually drives in. Again, yeah. I apologize for any ignorance if that's way off, but I think that's darn close to being factually correct. But, you know, when you think about that, if we can focus our attention on the SoCal golf scene just as our primary place to look for golfers to come experience Rams Hill, it's been an interesting marketing challenge, I guess, for lack of a better word, but maybe just more so a puzzle to put together.
Let's just kind of flesh out what Darren had asked you about those future plans.
The future plans, I mean, they're vast and they're real. I do believe that in the future, Rams Hill will mean more golf. I'm optimistic for what that will be. Obviously, we've got to cross some bridges before we get there, but it is my belief that one day in the not so distant future, my job will be not just selling folks for an 18-hole golf experience, but it will be, you know, multiple golf courses, whether that's another full length golf course or another short course involved. But because, you know, for us, Mitch, even the most avid golfers, of course, I recommend anybody to come spend 3 nights at Rams Hill and play the golf course 5 times. But there's those of us who, if we're going to do that, take a buddy's trip and spend the time, money and effort to make that happen. We want to play a lot of different golf. And that's why I think places like Forest Dunes just crush it, because there's so much variability in what your experience can look like. And for us, that is the light at the end of the tunnel. And the ultimate goalpost is to have more golf so that we can ultimately extend the stay of our golfers and just get more people to experience the Rams Hill experience.
Cool. Sounds great to me. And I totally agree with you. I think Darren and I both, we've gone to enough places where the variety is just cherries on top of what might be the main attraction. And let's talk about the main attraction. I had heard a lot about it, obviously, because Darren doesn't shut up about anything. I was intrigued by it. I lived in LA for a long time. I used to go to Palm Springs all the time. I love desert golf. To me, it's one of my favorite, you know, I love golf, but I alternate between wanting to be on the windswept coast of Scotland and all the way to the middle of the desert, you know. So I'd heard about Rams Hill. I was blown away by it when I actually got to experience it and make the decision on my own. So let's talk about the golf course. There's scenic views, no doubt. A lot of fun holes, generous landing areas that Fazio gave us. And one of the best collection of par threes I think you can find anywhere in California. And if you don't mind, feel free to spend an hour on number 5, the scene of my hole in one.
When you ace 25% of the par threes at a certain place, it's got to make you feel good about the collection as a whole. So kudos. Yeah. That's one more than I've ever made. But it's funny that you talk about, you know, what you've heard about Rams Hill, because I remember the same thing. Again, I mean, you touched on it for a second, and I don't know how interesting it is to anybody listening, but I did spend the better part of 7 years working for the Southern California Golf Association. And in that job, I was pretty fortunate to see almost every golf course from San Luis Obispo down to Tijuana and out to Blythe on the Arizona border was kind of our territory. And I was primarily running golf tournaments. And I remember I asked our director of course rating, a guy named Doug Sullivan. He's kind of a legend in that game, but I mean, he's literally been to every golf course. And I remember I asked him once upon a time, you know, what's your favorite golf course in Southern California? And he said, you know, this answer may surprise you, but I really love Rams Hill. And that was the first time I'd ever heard of it. And so my expectations were already really high. And so I finally made the point to get out there. I think I went there for the first time in 2018 when I was still an SCJ employee, and again with lofty expectations. But when I got there, genuinely, they were exceeded. I think the views alone, I remember sitting on that patio for the first time and looking out into the abyss that is kind of the landscape, and just thinking that this place is really special. And that was before I, you know, put a peg in the ground even to actually play the golf course.
Well, and you've, you know, we've talked about this. You like to use this tagline, you know, golf on Mars. It really just has that feel of just when you're looking some directions from the golf course, that you just feel like you can look at desert landscape forever. Like it's, and then mountains, you know, ringing it as well. So it's just, you know, I think it's unparalleled in some ways, with just kind of how it feels out there on certain sides of the golf course.
Oh yeah. When I think, you know, we get labeled as desert golf, which is certainly factual, but when I think desert golf in SoCal, I think, you know, Coachella Valley, and I played a lot of great golf. I've had a lot of fun up there, but it's really a different experience when you get down around the other side of the mountains into Borrego. It's just, it's unique in Southern California. And, I think that's to our benefit. It's again, it's a good opportunity to exceed expectations, I believe.
You know, can I just want to jump in and add one thing, because you guys have both spent so much time there. And sometimes it's interesting to get the perspective of somebody who went for the first time. And we always talk about the experiences of being in a certain place. And one of the things I found when I was at Rams Hill, and we'll talk about the house on the hill, staying there in just a minute, but the totality of a day there, from waking up in the morning in the middle of the desert you're talking about, seeing the sunrise before you get anywhere near the golf course. And the same thing on the other end of the day when you're there and it starts getting really that late afternoon, early evening light, and then into the darkness and the absolute spectacular skies that you see out there, because there is nothing around you to dim that. I think it's a really big part, in addition to a great golf course, of why you leave there. And it stayed with me since I've been there. And I'm not just blowing smoke. I mean, it is a really transcendent kind of experience there.
Yeah. And you mix in some coyotes yipping in the middle of the night. And
well, I thought that was Darren. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, that could be part of it as well. But you're right, Mitch. I think, you know, obviously I love golf and it's all I've known from a professional standpoint, and it's my favorite hobby. It's my passion. But for me, what's been exciting on the marketing side of things, not to get too inside baseball, but how do we tell the story of the experience that has nothing to do with the 18 holes? Because I think that's quite a special component as well. And as it is for a lot of different places, but I do think that is a special part of the Rams Hill experience. And it's got nothing to do with the golf, which is great on its own.
Yeah, the dark sky element of it is just something that a lot of places don't have as well. And you're just looking up at the stars every night, and you know, you get the clear desert skies for the most part. It really is kind of an underrated part of the experience that I think, until you get out there and you're sitting, you know, by the fire pit after a round, looking up the sky, you don't really get it, because it's different than what you get it at all these other places that we go so often.
Well, the native Michigander in me is like, really, we're really gonna talk about stars, huh? But you know, the Angelino in me, it's like, heck yeah, we're gonna talk about stars. I mean, it is awesome to get out from the city lights and just be truly out in the middle of that, because it is unlike anything you're going to get in the rest of the Southern California space, at least just being able to look up and see just dotted with so much going on up top there. And it is special.
Definitely. I wanted one more thing about the golf course that I think, because I mean, when it comes down to it, playing a fun golf course should be the number one thing on most people's list. And I think, for me, and I've played a few Tom Fazio golf courses, it's the most fun by a lot. And I think some of that is the landing areas. It's generous off the tee. The greens are big and slopey and tricky in some ways, but not overly gimmicky. And I just think I don't know many people who have walked off of it and not said, wow, that was a lot of fun. I want to go back.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, what else are we looking for in golf if it's not fun? And I've gotten the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with Tim Jackson, who I know that you guys know. And I remember he told me once walking around there, you know, there's no better feeling in golf than watching your ball roll slowly towards the hole. And it is. It's so exciting to see that. And the contours around the putting greens at Ramshill specifically, they give you a little benefit. You might not hit one exactly like you liked, but it rolls off those contours around the green and rolls slowly towards the hole. And you end up high-fiving by the end of it. And who doesn't enjoy that?
Falling on your knees in prayer.
Sure.
Which is what I did. No, I'm serious. I mean, the hole-in-one I had, not to mention it again.
That's
I had
tough. A hole-in-one.
Darren knows. I mean, I hit a great ball. It wasn't one of those fluky things. But the green on number five, the pin was back left on a two-tiered green. And so you play for the right side of the green where there's a little bit of mounding rather than go directly. I hit a really, really good shot, and we saw it. I saw it. Darren was walking and videoing, but I watched it roll across the top. I didn't know it went in, but I did exactly what you're talking about, which is watch a shot that you really liked with the potential to get close.
Yep.
And there's so many shots like that out there. And it is a great feature of that golf course that from depending on what skill level you are, that a lot of times people will have the opportunity to play shots that are really fun. And you can score too. If that's your bag, then great.
Sure. You know, we're in the midst of a multi-year transition to be a full TIFTUF Bermuda golf course. And again, for the avid golfers who might put that together, I mean, it's going to be fast and firm, and those contours are just going to come into play even more, which I'm excited about. And, you know, the concept of target golf does not apply at Ramshill. It is a really fun experience from the ground up.
You know, we play with the Hickories, and I've hit tons of running shots into all those greens. And, you know, for that reason, it's even more fun because you can play the ball along the ground or you can be an aerial player and really attack the golf course the way you want to and be as aggressive or defensive as you want to as well. I think those are all marks of great golf courses, and that's why Ramshill's in the, as you mentioned earlier, in the top 100.
Well, I'm embarrassed to say that I've never done golf in Scotland, but I know that that's kind of part of the fun there too. And one day I'll look forward to doing that where I can compare that experience.
Yep. Now I want to jump in something. I'm going to give you your chance here, Will. Mitch may not have picked up on it, but it's a discussion you and I have had. You referred to the greens on the golf course as the putting greens. And you and I have had a discussion about that. I believe that when people hear the phrase putting green, they think of the practice green. So give me your pitch for why those should be called putting greens.
I think that's the rules of golf expert in me. I got really a stickler about the correct vernacular along the way as per the rules of golf. The pin is not in the rules of golf. I still just can't find myself to call it a pin. It's a flag stick. And similarly, those are called putting greens there, at least unless something's changed over the last 4 years since my departure from that arena. But I don't know if I can shake that one.
Okay, wait, I have to say something here.
Go ahead.
Totally 100% flag stick versus pin. Pin makes no sense at all.
You drink out of a cup, you put a ball in the hole too. That's another one that I can't do.
I get that. All right. I'll give you that one. But the putting green, why are we even talking about that? What else is it going to be? A shuffle green, a bowling green, a croquet green?
In Will's defense, I think the answer there is the entire, because we had this discussion about green or greenskeeper, and the greenkeeper was the keeper of the green. Everything is green. And so Will's point is that those are the putting greens, the green in which you putt on would be true, right, Will?
I think you're right. And here's a little piece of rules of golf trivia that no one else will find interesting. But did you know, under the rules of golf, that there's no requirement to put the hole on the putting green?
Wait a minute. You mean you can put it on the side of a hill over a bunker?
You could put it in the bunker if you wanted. And under the rules of golf, it does not need to be on the putting greens. So maybe that all ties into my...
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I'm so glad I went down this road.
You have opened a massive can of worms here.
I don't know what the average listen time is on this podcast, but that might have shortened it here, unfortunately.
Stuck with us for 25 minutes, they got that gem right there.
This is great. All right, I'm going to have to really go down that rabbit hole because I had no idea about that one.
Ah, that's funny. All right, so let's move on. You mentioned something. You mentioned the Tiff Tough transition, and I've been thinking about using our podcast a little bit more to talk about the operations side of things. For people who don't know, if this is the first time you've ever turned this on, Will and I both worked at Rams Hill. I was there for about 3 years. I moved on and went to Tobacco Road, so I don't work there with Will now, but I was there when these decisions were being made to change the agronomy. And what I want to point out on the podcast, I keep trying to talk Mitch into doing a whole episode about just stuff the average golfer doesn't know that goes into keeping a course at the top of the game, you know, agronomy wise, the things that affect green fees that they don't ever know. Rams Hill is in the middle of, it is a massive big money project. We're not going to go into the actual numbers of it, obviously, but started last summer or actually really started the summer before while I was still there. The next phase will go into effect this coming summer. And it's all with the goal of moving the golf course, not only making the agronomy better year round, but also turning you from a seasonal operation into being open 12 months a year, which will also change the dynamic of what Rams Hill becomes.
Yeah, it is a pretty big project for us. And again, for the layman, maybe they won't even know that we've done what we've done here, but it is going to be transformative. And you know, along with providing for, more optimal playing conditions with this transition, we've also eliminated the need to overseed anymore, which for us is pretty clutch for that month of October, which is really just the tenderloin of the season and in the desert there in Borrego. We're going to be open during that time. No more dreaded cart path only, and all the things that go along with the overseed, but kind of most importantly, it's also going to represent up to a 25% reduction in water usage once we fully stabilize here in the transition. So that's a big notch in the sustainability belt for what we're doing as well.
And it will expand the kind of prime season, because in the since I've been there and before that, since it reopened basically, and there's a whole story about it closing down and reopening. We won't go into all that today, but you weren't opening until October, and being able to be open in September and also have Bermuda thriving in late May and into June, not to mention being able to have people play in the summer, will be a huge difference, because it'll just open up, these huge windows that you never were able to put golfers on the golf course before. And people will come out and play. We see it in all the desert locations. We see people going to Palm Springs, year round. We see people going to Scottsdale year round. There's no reason people shouldn't be coming out to Rams Hill year round.
Sure. I mean, it is interesting when you think about it, again, as a native Michigander here, when our golf courses back home, Forest Dunes of the World, when they're open, their peak season is the summer, and they've got a lot more daylight than what we've historically had in our peak season, which is the winter months. So it's getting dark earlier. When a golf course closes in Michigan for the winter, it's insulated by that blanket of snow, and there's not a whole lot of maintenance going on. For us, we're cranking all through the summer anyway. So that's unbeknownst to some. So for us, yeah, to keep it open all year round, who knows what July and August is going to look like for us. We don't know yet. It obviously gets a little toasty out there, but I do think, again, for those of us on the call here, we've played plenty of golf in the hot mornings, but you get out early and shut it down, go maybe lock in a siesta and go back out when the sun goes down. And I am excited about the summer for us. I'm excited about being 12 months. And I'm also excited about what that does for, you know, our employment base and keeping people on 12 months a year. I do think it's going to be transformative.
Yeah, it definitely will. And the other thing is, I'll say, having just been there and knowing that, and we've talked a little bit about this before on the podcast, that, you know, golf courses got hammered during COVID as more and more people played. Rams Hill was no exception. I mean, it took traffic that was probably never intended for it to take. And what I really loved about being out there last month and seeing the new greens, or the new putting greens, as you would say, and the surrounds, you know, kind of that area coming back to life. The greens are fantastic. They absolutely rolled tremendous. Shots around the greens were as good as they had been in years. And I just think that's the, you know, you're already starting to see this. And now when you go into replacing the fairways and the rest of the grass, you know, if you just continue to roll that ball downhill, as it looks like it's going, the conditions out there should just be, you know, absolutely stunning. And anybody would be crazy not to go out there and play.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, growing grass in the desert comes with its challenges, especially with some of the soil that we're working with. But I do think the Bermuda is going to provide for again, that optimal playing surface that, again, us golfers love. But as I've already kind of hammered in, the views are still going to be the same. So if that's your bag too, then we've got that for you as well.
That's true.
I'm going to throw in here because, like I said, when I lived in LA, I went to Palm Springs all through the summer. Mm. And I did exactly what you said, which was get out early, come back in during the middle of the day, do whatever, and then get out in the late afternoon when it starts to cool off. And it's heaven. I loved going there during the summer. So I'm right with you. Let's talk, Will, about one of the other great things. I mentioned it earlier, the house on the hill. And I know in the future plans, there's going to be more lodging and things like that. But we stayed at the house when I was there. And Darren did a video from this latest visit he did, and it shows one of the things that was not there when I was there. And frankly, I'm a little pissed off about it, which is that there is now a new addition, a golf simulator at the house for the guests who make it their home for stay and plays. I can attest, I'm lucky enough to have a simulator at my house out in an old barn that we have. And I know how fantastic it is, but this is, to me, this is going to be just a game changer. Not that the house on the hill wasn't great and isn't great, because it is, but having the golf simulator there, if you're with your pals, it's off the charts. How did it come about? When did you decide to do that?
Yeah, thanks for the plug. Makes my job a little easier here. The House on the Hill is our signature offering for those looking to stay and play at Rams Hill. And it has been since I got there. Really just a beautiful 4-bedroom home, kind of overlooking the 15th fairway there. We were approached by a company called Unicore, and they are obviously in the simulator game, and we wanted to scan the golf course. And part of that arrangement was then we'd come into a simulator that we could use there. And so we decided to transition the garage into a full-on simulator room. So we're still working on turning that into the ultimate golf cave. I don't know if it rivals your barn, Mitch, but we're working on it. And it just provides one more thing that golfers can do. Cause for us too, especially in December, it's, you know, it's dark at 5:30. So what do golfers want to do when the sun goes down? And that's, I guess it's play more golf. Yeah. So you've got an opportunity to take a cocktail out to the garage and keep the wagers going.
And what's super cool about it is, I mean, you have another simulator on property. You have Full Swing Simulator that's at the clubhouse, but the Unicore, they scanned Rams Hill. So somebody who's playing there can play Rams Hill. In our case, coming from Tobacco Road, and two of the three guys I had with me had been to Tobacco Road. We spent the evening playing Tobacco Road on the simulator. And so, you know, I think being able to play those options and those courses that you're familiar with, you know, that to me is just, it's a game changer. And there was just something so cool about, I love the house anyway. I've stayed in the house on the hill many times. But I mean, it's just, you know, instead of sitting around a table playing poker or whatever, you know, at night, swing golf clubs for another 4 hours or something like that. We played until 1:30 in the morning and didn't even finish the 18 holes. And I was like, you know, this could really get dangerous in terms of your sleep patterns.
You can go out there and get a little revenge if one of those par threes did you dirty the first time around. You can give it another try. But I'm excited about the marketing component too. Just, I mean, it's a little hard to track, but we have had some people say they've played Rams Hill virtually and now they want to come play it for real. So I do think it is an interesting way to inject us, you know, of course, at the house on the hill, but just throughout the world, really, to just try to get more people to become aware of Rams Hill.
That's actually the question that that Mark Stewart, the owner of Tobacco Road, has too, is, you know, how many people are seeing us in different, you know, different places on these Unicores simulators everywhere. And so, yeah, I think the marketing part of it is probably the unheralded aspect of it that we're still just trying to figure out, you know, exactly what it does.
Mitch, what kind of setup do you have there in the garage? Or in the barn, I should say.
It's an OptiShot.
Okay.
And it's really good. You know, it's different for us because it's, I remember when we were thinking about renovating this barn we had, and I started looking around at all these different simulator packages and all different kinds of, I mean, you can get into some heavy duty stuff. And yeah, we just really wanted something that was pretty simple and, you know, it was still cost some money, I'll say that, but it was at kind of the, I would say about the, it wasn't the lowest level, but it was a step up from that, just because we wanted a place to go outside, have some drinks, play some music, fool around. So it's fine. It's perfect for us. I'm sure that the Unicore is more based on what you're using it for. And the fact that you guys can use it as a marketing thing, as opposed to me, who just uses it as a barn with a simulator, you know, it makes a lot more sense. Do I wish that I had one that was at that level? Yes, absolutely. But in my world, it's great. And, you know, it's fine for what I want. I wish that I had, and I'm sitting here thinking while you're talking that I'm going to check with OptiShot. They have packages with courses on it. And I want to find out if Rams Hill's on there. I don't know if you know that. And Tobacco Road, too. If those two are, then they're going on and I'll just play them. I could play both of those for the rest of my life.
Yeah, you won't need to go anywhere else. Just the barn.
I probably won't leave the house ever.
Yeah. So, well, I don't remember what course we played on your OptiShot when I came to.
Because they have, you know, with a licensing thing they had at the beginning, especially, which I've had it for almost 3 years now. And at that point, they didn't have specific courses. So they for St. Andrews, for example, they would have the course would be called Old Scotland. And they would have, you know, kind of features, but it wasn't really the old course. And Beth Page, same thing, all the courses. Now, I think they have upgraded and they do have specific courses. So I'll probably get on that and drive my wife crazy and say, yeah, I'm going to get a few more because they have, I think I have 60 on there now. So, you know, I definitely need a couple more. But
now, one thing, Will, before we kind of wrap up your segment here, and Mitch has got another question for you, but I realized when I was putting together the run sheet, we have gone now, you know, 35 minutes, whatever it is, and we have not mentioned cookies or tacos. So, talk about the cookies and tacos, because I mean, we can't let it go by without mentioning them.
Yeah, part of the magic is that we offer complimentary tacos out on the at the Ram Shack, which is our little halfway house version there. You can hit it twice after 9 or as you come up to 14. And that, I forget exactly how that originated. I think maybe during COVID, and you know, it was just something special that we could offer golfers to try to make their experience more memorable. And for better or worse, it kind of became a part of our brand and it became something people fell in love with. So here we are offering complimentary tacos as part of what you get when you come to Rams Hill. And then at the end, we've got an apple caramel cookie, and that has really taken off and become kind of like a cult following of its own. And we actually did a little video of Maria, the lady who bakes the cookies every morning. And that was a hit on social. And yeah, we just lean into it. And I think that's what golfers find fun about their favorite destinations is the little stories that go along with the golf and what made them feel special when they were there.
The video with her is absolutely fantastic.
Great, right?
Seeing how they get made. Also, you know, for anyone out there, I have eaten possibly more cookies than anybody in the golf world of these. Yeah,
Darren was on quality control when he was here.
Right. So I will tell you, they're among my favorite cookies ever, you know, in my 56 years on this planet. So it's worth it to go. I mean, we mentioned earlier, it's worth it just to go for the views. To me, it's also worth it just to go for the cookies.
There you go. Yeah. It all just ties back into what we talked about earlier about, you know, how can we tell the Rams Hill story, certainly about the golf, but, you know, all the other peripherals as well.
All right, let's. We have a few more minutes, but you said something before, and we want to follow up on that, which is the fact that you're from Michigan. You're bound to have, and this is Talking Golf Getaways, after all. I mean, we love Rams Hill. We want to talk just about this because you're from Michigan. I'm sure you have a few favorite courses, destinations up that way. You coordinate a buddy trip every year. I know for me, I came late to Michigan golf. I hadn't been there for ever until a few years ago, probably now 5 or 6 years ago, when I started and got a chance to go up to Boyne and play all those courses, and then found joy in the Upper Peninsula and Roscommon at Forest Dunes, Wawashkamoa, Mackinac Island. And I think personally, Michigan is just, I couldn't believe how great the golf was up there. So tell us a little bit about your feelings about it, what courses kind of stand out that listeners should also know about up there.
Yeah, Michigan's will always be home to me, obviously, in a sense. And I do have a great affinity for golf there. And I've gone up to Forest Dunes a couple times. I just think that one's about as good as it gets. I've done the Weisskopf a few times, and I've done the Loop going one way. I've done red. I don't think I've done black, but got to get back up there and complete that along with the Bootlegger. So that one's, I think, special. Roscommon's got some similarities to Borrego, just in the sense of being remote and a small community, and the adventure that is driving up north, for me at least, when I was home to get up to Roscommon and Forest Dunes. And but I've also been pretty fortunate that I did get to do Crystal Downs once upon a time with my dad and my brother, and that one. You're not going to find those tee times online, but that one was pretty cool if you can ever make your way on.
Have you played Belvedere?
I've not done Belvedere. I've not done Kingsley. I'd like to do both of those. Haven't done Wawashkamo since I was a kid. Would love to do that. But, I mean, you could just go on and on with the options here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, obviously, I've played Belvedere. I've not played Kingsley, although our good friend Kevin Frisch keeps trying to drag me up there and get over, which I would love to do. So
I have played Kingsley multiple times.
I know you have.
Just so you guys.
Okay, Kingsley dropper.
And it is every bit as good as everyone says it is.
Yeah.
It's just a ton of fun.
I'd like to do the Dunes Club, the Little Niner in New Buffalo. I've always wanted to do that.
And that, I've also done that.
I know you have. That one's on the short list for me.
Oh boy, we're getting into dangerous territory here. all right. Well, we really thank you a lot, Will.
Well, wait. Hold on just a minute. Now you coordinate a buddy trip every year too. So you've been to some other outside Michigan places. You mentioned Gamble, that you've been up to Gamble for other things, but tell us some of the places you've been with this buddy trip and kind of where you like to take the guys.
Well, we did a couple years ago, we did Pinehurst, but Pinehurst area, I should say. So we did Tobacco Road, which obviously was right. Awesome. We did Pine Needles, Mid Pines, Southern Pines, and Pinehurst number 4. That was pretty sweet. All of those were just awesome. Loved Southern Pines, fell in love with Southern Pines. So that was a couple years ago. Then we did Bend. So we did Tethro and both courses up at Pronghorn, stayed at Tethro. Another David Clay kid, just gem. And that was super fun. I mean, that exceeded my expectations as well. And then this year, I think we're going to go, I don't know if I've talked to you about this, and I'll be interested to hear if either of you guys have done this before, but we've got guys from all over the country and kind of looking at a June window. So we're going to go to Turning Stone up near Syracuse. Have you done that or heard of that?
I've been to Turning Stone National. What was it? National Golf Foundation. What was it? We used to be International Network of Golf. That's what it was. Right. Where Mitch and I met, actually. They did one of their annual meetings at Turning Stone, and the three golf courses are very, very different. So I think you guys would have a good time there. Plus, if you're casino guys, you know, it's a casino property, and I think there's a lot of good golf to be had there in what is that, the Syracuse area, I guess, of New York?
Yep, Syracuse area. The casino could throw a dangerous ripple into it all, but we'll see how the fellas make
that. I have a particular experience at the casino because we used to do, when I was doing commentary for ESPN on the Women's Billiard Tour, we had events there for a number of years at Turning. So I think it's a great spot. I really do. I think it offers a lot. Like Darren said, the golf courses are really good and different, and it's a beautiful part of the country. So, yeah, great.
Yeah. What we're trying to do, too, is, as you guys know, is, you know, I've done the trips where you have a home base and you drive all over the world trying to find different golf courses to play. It's what we did in North Carolina. We loved it. But we had a lot of fun just being on property at Tethro and, you know, trying to find those places where you can kind of insulate yourself and park the car and throw the keys in the bag and not have to go touch them again until you leave. And
that's it.
That makes the whole trip special.
Yep. And at Turning Stone, you'll get to add another Tom Fazio golf course to your to your repertoire.
So that's right.
All right. Well, we're thrilled we had a chance to talk to you. Both of us obviously are glad about that. And I hope people listening are going to be, if they haven't been there, intrigued enough to get to one of the truly great spots that you can experience golf and in a beautiful place. I can't say it any other way. And you're a great spokesman for it. That's for sure.
Thanks for having me, guys. I just hope people listen. So hopefully this was a worthy guest for you to have. And I sure enjoy listening to you guys.
Don't sell yourself short, Will.
Well, appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
All right, you can find Will on Instagram and the Twitter X universe at Ramshill Will. That's Will with one L, W-I-L. And you can find Ramshill on Twitter at Ramshill Golf, Instagram Ramshill Golf Club.
Will, just real quickly, how did you lose the second L in your name?
my legal name, my full legal name is Milford Mayo III.
Okay, wait.
That's right.
That was a tough one for me in elementary school. That's Milford with an M. And, you know, I was telling somebody this yesterday. There was a moment in time when I learned my name wasn't Will. So that tells you, I've always been Will since I was born.
It was Milford. What was the middle? What was the rest of the name?
There's no middle. So it's just Milford Mayo III.
Got it. Which,
again.
And that implies there's two other Milford Mayos.
There are two. My dad and my grandpa, obviously. And on substitute teacher day, I used to just walk up to the sub and say, oh, you know, when you get down to my name, can you call me Will? Because that was a tough one. But we're persevering.
You know that now I'm calling you Milford.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Probably could edit this out at some point in time, but yeah.
Post pal. You'll always be Milford to me now.
Well, Milford, thanks for being on another very special episode of Talking Golf Getaways. They're all special these days to us since we kind of do them, you know, whenever we feel like it, really. So we talked about this earlier. Feel free to stay on and yak with us about these next two topics if you like. It might be interesting to get your perspective on them. As a guy who ran golf tournaments, you might like the second one.
I'll be here in the shadows.
What's that?
I said, I'll be here. I'll lurk in the shadows.
Nice. Mitch, before we do that, we should probably tease a couple of things.
Yeah, well, the biggest one is having just gotten back from one of the great trips that I think we would all agree, the four of us that were there, that you could ever go on, which was the original Golf Getaways Essential Destination team of you and Brian Orr and Vic Williams, the four of us together in St. George, Utah for 3 days and then up in Mesquite the last day, and we could do hours and hours on those 4 days that we spent there.
And we might.
But really looking forward to covering the whole experience, which I just, you guys had been there. It was my first time to the St. George area and Mesquite area. And again, there's no way I can't. I was trying to explain it when I got home to my wife, Dave, and I said, as much as I tell you, and it's like so many of the great destinations like Rams Hill, it's hard to put it into words to really convey the impact that it has on you. And I think that's really the way I felt, certainly. And being together with the four amigos, the original Golf Getaways team, that's a dream. So we're going to record something about that real soon. We played Entrada, great David McClay Kid course that he redid, and Black Desert, Tom Weisskopf, which is immediately shot into my top five ever. Sand Hollow, which was great. And what do you say about Wolf Creek? I don't even know. Again, the words, I'm going to have to get the thesaurus out before that one, Darren.
Yeah, no doubt. And Black Desert, just such a big sprawling project that we had no idea was as big as it is. And and the golf course just carved through that black lava. That'll be a lot of fun to talk about. The other thing we've got coming up too is we're going to have our friend Eric Hart on to talk about his golf course, Wild Marsh. He's doing great things out there. They're just getting their season started in Minnesota. So that'll be another fun episode. So keep a lookout for those. All right. Let's talk about the Masters.
Yeah, Aaron.
Yes.
Did you know the Masters is next week?
The Masters. As of today, this is we're recording this the Saturday before Masters week, just so people know.
Oh yeah, correct.
And the past couple of weeks, I got a random message on Twitter. Actually, I saw a post from a friend, a Twitter friend. I've never met this guy in person, Tucker Booth, who does a podcast that has some kind of, it's like Rappers Love Golf or Rappers Don't Golf. I don't know. It's something like that.
It's really great.
He's also a ghostwriting author. He's writing books. He's written books for people and helped write books for people. And he threw this thing out and said, hey, I have a friend who has Masters tickets or a Masters package, and she can't go. And if you're interested, let me know. So I reached out to him and I said, sure, I would be interested in that. And the package was this. I mean, it really was somewhat extraordinary. It was three nights in a house. It was for two people, three nights in a house, shared with another couple. It had transportation back and forth from the house to the golf course. It had hospitality on Wednesday, and then it had badges for Thursday for the opening round. Also transportation from the airport if you could get to the Augusta Airport. And I thought, okay. So I started calling people. It was expensive. I mean, let's be honest. And I thought to myself, okay, this is one of those things that if I was going to spend big money on something, maybe this is what I would do. The package was in the, I think they had paid $15,000 for it. And it was being offered to me for $12,000. I started talking to my various friends. which is a small list. First of all, as you know, Mitch, it's a small list of people I will travel with anyway. There are only about seven people on that list. And so I needed people like that who I'm willing to travel with and also might be able to handle the money on this. I reached out to Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire.
Drink.
He couldn't do it because he's on his way to Branson for a big fam and shoot pictures of golf courses in April. I reached out to our friend Joe Sass, who's always up for a trip of a lifetime because he's been on like five or six trips of a lifetime with us. And what evolved was, even as the price came down, because the woman who was doing this, who used to work for the PGA Tour, very nice woman, she's just trying to make her money back. They ran into a scheduling conflict and weren't able to go. But as we talked more and more about it, Joe and I, we realized that for that kind of money, and when you factor in it was expensive to fly into Augusta, the logistics of it all, you know, even if you flew into Atlanta, you had to take a car, which was another expense, that there's just too much other golf travel that I could do with that money. And all I really want to do is see the golf course. I'm not so enamored with the PGA Tour, especially now after all the live stuff, to feel like, oh man, I really need to go see the Masters, you know, go see the tournament. I want to walk Augusta National. And you and I were talking about this the other day, you know, that might be achieved better by going to the ANWA women's event rather than going to see the men, and it would be far less expensive. But for the price of this thing, like I could go to Bandon for a week. I could go to Tobacco Road for 2 weeks. And that's really where it came down to. Joe and I just talked it out for like 2 days. And finally, we had to just pass on the opportunity. But there was this roller coaster of emotions for these couple of days because I was all excited and I posted, oh, it looks like I'm going to the Masters. Then I couldn't get anybody to go. Then it was like, oh, no, it doesn't look like I'm going to the Masters. And so now, once again, I will not be at the Masters this year. The only other time that I have had tickets to go to the Masters, I had badges for the practice round the year of COVID when it got canceled. Thanks to our friend John Patrick. I mean, he's not the reason it got canceled, obviously, but he was the one who was helping us with the badges. And then it got canceled, and I wasn't privy to the badges when it came back in whatever it was, October of that year. So,
well, as you know, and I really feel for your delicate psychotic makeup.
Yes.
And the roller coaster of emotions you went through.
Yes.
Because I know that was a dangerous few days. But I think you, absolutely hit on the answer for next year. And if, yeah. I mean, today is Saturday, people will be listening to this in a few days, but you know, I watched ANWA today, and it's a perfect time to do it. Now every year they're getting bigger. They had more people on the course today than I remember seeing the last couple of years. I don't doubt that next year there'll probably be more, but it's still far less than the 35,000 people you'll deal with going to the regular tournament. And I can attest, I've been fortunate to go a whole lot. And I think that's the perfect way to go. It'll be more relaxed. You can absolutely get a perfect, you know, experience of the golf course, which is what you're looking for. I think ANWA is the way to go.
And you get to watch some amazing amateur women.
Yes. I mean, I don't know if you saw the end of the event.
No.
But the girl who won it, who's a sophomore at Florida State, Wode, I can't remember, Lottie Wode. She's English and shy as can be. I mean, painstakingly shy. But she gets inside the ropes and she birdied three of the – she was leading going into Augusta. She birdied three of the last four holes to win by a shot.
Outstanding.
And I mean, yeah, I don't care how old you are, who you are, whatever. It was incredible to watch. So the golf is great. Augusta's Augusta. You don't have to deal with – the crush, you know, the food's still available, Darren. You can get, you know, egg salad sandwiches and moon pies and whatever you like. But exactly. I think it's a great way to do it, just for masters. Okay. I want you to close.
The other piece of that is that if we did this trip, we weren't going to take our golf clubs. We weren't going to go and make it a bigger golf trip, which originally when we were going during COVID, we had planned some things. So now, you know, if we do the Anwin next year and you come out or whatever, we can go play Aiken Golf Club. We can go play other places in the area. Absolutely. You know, and experience the golf that's outside of Augusta as well, that is so highly, you know, talked about as well.
Yep. All right. I'll start planning that tomorrow.
I would appreciate that.
Before we sign off, just tell us this story about Joe Saz, our great friend and travel companion.
Okay.
About this raffle prize.
Okay. So Joe calls me the other day. Will, you want to get in on this because you'll like this. I am not a beer drinker. I think anybody knows that I'm a whiskey guy. I'm a wine guy. I'm not a beer drinker. But Joe goes to play in a tournament. Joe lives in Texas. He goes to play in a tournament. And one of the raffle prizes was you could get as many raffle tickets for this prize as you wanted. You get one for each six pack of beer you bring. Okay. So you could bring, you know, all the six packs you want. You bring as many six packs as you want. You get one raffle ticket for each six pack of beer you bring. They have a truck there. You come, you put your six pack of beer in the back of the truck, in the bed of the truck, you get a raffle ticket. Everybody else in the tournament does that. After the round is over, they draw a raffle ticket. The person who wins, the truck full of beer gets driven to their house. And you get all of the beer that is in the back of the truck that people have brought to get raffle tickets for this thing. To me, it is one of the more ingenious raffle prizes I've ever heard of. And a friend of Joe's actually won it. And so this guy then was like, you know, he was like the emperor. He is like, what kind of beer do you like? What kind of beer do you like? What kind of beer do you like? He's giving them, you know, giving six packs away to his friends and everything. And I just thought there was something about it that just struck me as that is just pure creativity in terms of a prize that is something truly unique, kind of not unlike what we were talking about at Rams Hill with the cookies or the tacos or these things that make you remember an event or a place you've been or a golf hole specifically, because they're just unique. And for some reason, I found that to be fantastic. I want to try to do it at some future event that I do here in California.
Well, I appreciate you letting me listen in as the golf tournament guy. I was a rules official for the 2017 Walker Cup, but this bring your own beer in a truck thing might be the most exciting golf tournament I've ever heard of.
That is funny. That is funny.
Will just comes off of mute and starts throwing blows at me.
Well, but it's perfect. Exactly what he said is perfect. We're going to do at some point. We're not going to do it now, but I want to get Will back on and just do a podcast about being a rules official.
Yes.
That's Darren. You were talking about a whole lot, doing podcasts about things that golfers really aren't aware of and might not know behind the scenes. And to me, that's absolutely one of the things I'd love to talk about.
Yeah. The other thing is I feel like we need to take, you know, because you play a lot of golf with me and Brian Orr and I are very competitive and we count every shot. There's no gimmies with us because we've said before on the podcast, Brian learned golf from his grandma. His grandma said, there's no gimmies. You putt it until the ball goes in the hole.
Right.
So we have this, you know, ongoing, you know, these battles. In fact, at spoiler alert, in Utah, we split the four matches. But we run into rules situations all the time. And I was just thinking the other day, we need to have Will traveling with us so that he could chime in and be the actual rules official every time we have a question.
At least you guys aren't taking yourself too seriously. We want to have an actual rules official travel with us.
The best part about leaving my old gig, which I very much enjoyed, other than embarking upon the Rams Hill adventure, was no longer having to be the arbiter for my buddy's rules disputes.
Oh.
I am retired from that, but I will gladly join your golf parties.
All right. Well, that's fine. And then we can just, you don't have to worry about the other stuff. Because it's fun to watch Darren and Brian go after each other, I have to say.
I want to take you, Will, if you're not gonna bring something to the table.
No, but I do. Because he and I can talk on the side about what the actual rule is and let you two fight it out.
That's right. A good point.
And not tell you. Never tell you. But Will's such a good guy. I would love to have him come on these trips with us. All right. Well, this has been fun. Again, Will, thanks a million for coming and spending some time. Hopefully a lot of our listeners will get out there and say hi when they're at Rams Hill. Darren, even though I saw you a few days ago, it's always good to spend some time with you. I didn't actually need a break from you this time. We had so much fun in St. George.
No doubt.
And thanks for listening, everybody. We're always glad you're out there. That's all for this episode. Thanks. Keep running down your dream. So long.